Storm Runners by Roland Smith. 1 year earlier. Chase Masters decided it was time to repair the treehouse in the backyard. It has been his little sister Monica's favorite place. She'd spent so much time up there, they'd nicknamed her Little Monkey, a nickname Monica had liked. He started by tearing out a couple of rotted support beams and replacing them with treated 4x6s. He was going to fix the roof next, but he never got to it. The next morning, he and his father, John, were sitting in the kitchen eating breakfast. Eggs, pancakes, bacon. A Sunday tradition since Chase had been born. "Want some more grub, Chase?" his father asked. Chase shook his head. He'd already eaten 5 eggs and a half dozen strips of bacon, and he was still working on a stack of pancakes tall enough to sit on. His father poured himself another cup of black coffee, sat down at the table, and looked out the back window. "Thunderstorm," he said. "After we clean up, I better head out to the job site and double-check to make sure everything's tied down and covered. Want to come?"
"Sure."
Large raindrops began to splatter the backyard. Chase's father leaned closer to the window. "Are those tools lying outside?" What his father was really asking was, "Why in the blank did you leave those tools outside?" Tools were like religious artifacts in the master's house. After each use, they were to be cleaned, oiled if necessary, and put away in their proper place. And each tool had only one proper place. "Sorry." Chase jumped up from the table.
"Relax, I'll get 'em. Finish your pancakes. It'll give me a chance to see what kind of job you did on those supports."
"I did it right." Chase's father grinned. "I have no doubt. You were trained by the master." Chase returned the grin, and it wasn't because of his father's terrible pun. Chase was relieved that his father wasn't upset that he was fixing the treehouse. When Monica was 5 years old, she'd wandered off, sending the whole family into a terrified panic. They had searched for hours. Chase's mother had called the police. They were about ready to issue an Amber Alert when Chase found Monica sound asleep in the old oak tree in the backyard. If she had rolled over, she would have fallen 25 feet. Chase and his father, mostly his father, had started building the treehouse the next morning. Soon, Monica was spending almost as much time up in the treehouse as she was in their real house. The treehouse had been sitting empty for a little over a year now, and Chase had not mentioned his repair plans to his father. There was an unspoken rule in the master's household. The deaths of his mother and sister were not to be talked about, because the subject opened sores that hurt for days. As far as Chase knew, his father hadn't set foot in Monica's bedroom since the accident. It was almost as if he thought she was still in there and would come running out one day, filling the house with her wild, uninhibited giggling. Chase would have given almost anything to hear that laugh again. Chase watched his father walk across the yard in the now pouring rain. John Masters hadn't bothered to put on a coat, and he was getting drenched. His lightweight cowboy shirt clung to his lean, ropey muscles. His brown hair had turned black in the torrent. He climbed the slick rungs screwed into the gnarled trunk and inspected Chase's work as if he were a structural engineer, which he wasn't. He was a builder, one of the best in the city. He had built their house and several other houses in the neighborhood, too. After he'd married Chase's mother, he'd started a construction company with her brother Bob. Chase's father climbed down from the tree and gave his son a thumbs-up sign, which Chase took to mean that he could continue with his renovation and maybe, just maybe, they could put the past behind them and get on with their lives. It turned out that they did get on with their lives, but it wasn't the life Chase had been expecting. Chase's father reached down and picked up the nail gun. He shook the rain off of it, looked up at the sky. Chase was still a little shaky about what happened next. There was a blinding flash of white light followed by a deafening explosion that shook the house. When Chase's eyes cleared from the flash, he saw his father crumpled beneath the tree,
His clothes were smoking. Chase ran out of the house, yelling. The sharp stench of ozone filled the backyard. His father wasn't breathing. The snaps on his shirt were fused to his chest. People showed up from all over the neighborhood. A couple of them were doctors. They started giving him CPR. Chase couldn't watch. He looked up at the tree. His father's left boot was dangling by its shoelace from a lower branch. 2 days later, his father came out of his coma. When Chase told him how terrible he felt about leaving the tools outside, his father laughed and said, "That bolt of lightning was waiting for me my whole life, Chase. If it hadn't nailed me in the backyard, it would have gotten me in the front yard, walking to my truck, or later at the job site. You can't hide from your fate." On the road with his father over the past year, Chase had thought a lot about the word fate and decided that it was one of those little words with a big meaning.